Please open your Bibles this morning to the book of Titus. Titus chapter 2. Our main text will be out of verse 4. I will begin my reading in verse 1. Titus chapter 2, verse 1. But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine. Let the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience. The older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may admonish young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Let's pray. Holy Father, as we come before you this morning, each one of us are dependent upon you. And although I am preaching this word, I am also dependent upon you for my utterance as well as my learning from this text even this morning. I pray that all of us, Lord, would open our hearts and our minds to your word this morning, to understand how important it is to love children and what that means. They are the next generation. Father, help us this morning to take serious the message from your word. Help us, Father, in our weaknesses. May we glorify you this morning in Christ's holy and precious name. Amen. So what does it mean to love our children? Is it just a sentimental feeling? A place of pride in our own hearts? Is it giving them what they want? Or is there something much more critical that we need to consider? If we are able to love our children, it is how we raise them, how to teach them, how to prepare them for life in this world as well as the life to come. Love means doing what is good for them. As Christians, we are commanded to love our children. Particularly in this text in Titus, it speaks of mothers loving their children. We must understand the most important thing we can do to love our children is to teach them to honor God by teaching them the things that He has revealed to us in His Word. We must understand that we are not like the animals of the field. They live by mere instinct. But man, however, was given the ability to reason, to think, and to learn, which brings about growth in our lives, maturity, understanding. What we are taught is what will direct the way of our lives. The very context of our text this morning indicates the need to be taught. Of course, when our sinful natures get in the way, we deny this truth and forsake the God who created us. This whole chapter that we are looking at indicates that we need to learn from our elders. It indicates that we are to teach everyone in the church, and that in turn, they are able to teach those who God instructs them to teach. And when looking at this text, we see that young mothers need to learn from older women, mature women, people who understand the things of God, women who understand the things of God. The question that must be posed this morning is, what do we teach? What is the most essential thing that we should be teaching our children? Mothers, you must understand that you are the most essential teacher in your home and will have the greatest effect and impact on your children. We must understand that there is an objective aspect to what and how to teach our children. Everybody thinks in their own mind about what is good, but we must take every thought captive to the word of God, that we may teach our children and give them a firm foundation, even to the hope of their salvation. After all, we must remember what the scripture says. In Proverbs 22:15, it says, "Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it far from him." In other words, we are born into foolishness. I know that's hard for some of us to believe, but we are. And the scripture tells us that a fool says in his heart, there is no God. We're born with a presupposition of hating God. So we must learn how to teach our children what God tells us to teach them. In Deuteronomy 29:29, it says, "The secret things belong to God, to the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed belongs to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law." Therefore, the revealed things of God are to be passed down from generation to generation. And it is the parents' responsibility to see to that, that their children learn the revealed things of God. I mean, listen to what it says in Psalm 78. It's instructions about children. "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your hearts to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in parables, and I will utter dark sayings of old." Before I go any further, I want you to understand what it means when it says dark sayings. It has more to do with the mysterious things, the things that are hard to understand. So be like hard sayings of old. The word dark can confuse us. "Which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from our children, telling to the generations to come the praises of the Lord, and his strength, and his wonderful works that he has done. For he established a testimony in Jacob, and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, the children who would be born, that they may arise and declare them to their children. That they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. And may not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not set their hearts aright, whose spirit was not faithful to God." Now, even though this text refers to fathers more than mothers, we need to understand the covenantal aspect of a marriage and mothers and fathers. The father is the one that's ultimately responsible for everything. The wife is the one who is to help with those responsibilities. Therefore, there is a responsibility that falls on the mother to do these things. She has an authority over her children. She is to bear on them primarily the things of God. We need to consider this in light of the reality of what do we teach our children? What are the most important things that we teach our children? Do we make the most important thing how to get a great job? How to take care of the home? How to build things? And those are all good things, but they are not the primary things. There are many people today that are responsible in life. They've made a good life for themselves overall as a worldly view takes it. But they're going to hell. All of that's secondary. The success of our children should cause us great anxiety if they do not know the Lord. They put their hope and their success in the world. We need to teach them what is important. I would rather have my children living under a bridge and know the Lord than being a CEO of a Fortune 500 company and not knowing the Lord. So the primary aspect of our teaching, the primary aspect of loving our children, has to be directing them in the commands of the Lord. Directing them to know Christ. So in considering the text this morning, it tells us, and more particularly what women are to know, what she needs to learn through the elders and through other older women as they've grown up, out of the church. It says the older women, likewise, that they are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. Now, we talked about that already. But a woman, a mother, an older, mature, godly woman, is to be teaching the younger women good things. Not necessarily happy things. Not necessarily things that please them. But what is good for them. When children are disciplined, they don't think it's good. It's painful. But see, our sinfulness gets in the way, and that's why we don't receive the chastisement, the correction that we should be receiving all the time. And here we see that there is a necessity that younger women are admonished, and here primarily by the older women, as a function of the church, as part of the ministry of the church. You know, you hear women talk, well, my kids are raised, and I don't know what to do with my life. I don't have anything left. But not according to this. It's now time for the older women to teach the younger women everything that they had to learn and go through. I want you to think about this for just a second, just in this aspect of teaching. And I want you to understand this. This is two-sided. The older women should be teaching. The mature, godly older women should be teaching the younger women. The younger women should not be avoiding being taught by the older women. Remember what we said already? Foolishness is bound up in a child. Guess what? That doesn't just end one day. It has to be disciplined out. We have to be taught, corrected. Now, if you're a young mother in here and you don't think you need anyone to teach you anything, good luck. Parenting is a very difficult job. It is. It's difficult. And so we need to be humble, and we need to take that teaching that is given to us. It is extremely important that children are taught. The scripture says that we are to train up our children in the way they should go. And when they are old, they will not depart from it. If they're not being taught, they're not going to depart from anything. They're going to go their merry own way and let the world overtake them. If a mother loves her children, then she's doing for them what is good. Not what the kids want. Not arguing with them and debating with your child. They have no clue what they need. They have no clue what they should be doing or shouldn't be doing. It is a parent's job. And here, a mother. As I've said so many times, even in my own home, I have credited my wife with so much of my children's biblical understanding. She taught them growing up. While they were in the womb, they were already listening to the Word of God. And every year of their life, they go through the Bible, initiated by my wife, by their mother. And discussion happens at home when I'm not there. The mother is essential to what is good, giving to the children what are good. But a mother needs to know what that is. And then a mother needs to know how to accomplish that. If we're going to raise our children this way, we've got to ask the question, because we can't go over everything this morning, can we? We can't just go through Scripture and see every text that tells us about what to do to raise our children. And so we have to be careful on how we teach. We give our children an essential view of God. And mothers, you are primarily teaching that, both by the example and by what you teach them. Husbands, you're not free from this. You're the one responsible for all of it. We've talked about that already in one degree, but you're responsible for everything. Everything your wife teaches your children, guess what? You have to answer for it. That's just the reality of how God set things up. So when I'm talking again, like I've said the whole time, if we're talking about wives, mothers, it does not exclude you men. You need to listen. You're responsible for this. But if we're not careful, we are teaching for mere head knowledge and making their lives nothing more than black and white legalistic conformity through fear, so that we as parents look good. Look how good my children look. They dress just a certain way. We see this. My wife and I, you know, we've homeschooled our kids all the time, and you can go to some homeschool groups and it's like, wow, look at them. But then when you get around them, some of the kids, it's like, whoa, well, they look good. And then you see a lot of them. And it's not just homeschooling, but we're just using the experience of our own life. Just like being raised in a church. One of the saddest stats that are out there about churches and children is as they are raised, when they hit 18, they're gone. They're gone. That's sad. Because that should be our primary drive at all expense. Teaching our children to know the Lord. Teaching them to honor and respect and revere. So if we're going to train our children on the way they should go, and we understand that they are not born with a presupposition or an instinct to worship God, to honor, to respect, to revere. What they're born with is a selfish desire. Everything they do is what they want. I want, I want. I want, I want, I want. They cry, they scream, they get a little older, they kick their feet if they're not trained. They throw fits if they're not trained. And that goes on. From the smallest of child, you've got to remember that you're raising them from the very beginning, teaching them about God. And remember, as parents, in our children's lives, we are to reflect God. And so what is the most important thing then that we should start by teaching our children for them to begin to understand as time goes by who God is? We can't take a one-year-old and sit him down and explain all the great theology. They're not going to get it. So what do we teach them? Maybe we should go back to the very first commandment about children. Deuteronomy 5:16. Honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long and that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord God has given you. One of the problems we have today, and I want mothers and fathers both to listen to this. I made a comment a minute ago about we can raise our children in a legalistic system based on terror, punishment. They're not obeying. What do I do? Well, it's because we haven't laid the proper foundation. Why do people not obey God? They don't honor Him. They don't trust Him. They don't revere Him. And here we have the very first thing. And it almost seems out of place in the Ten Commandments when you think about it. Remember, the Ten Commandments were not written to little children. It was written to the nation of Israel. And mainly, at that time, it was the men that were receiving this, and they were to pass it on. Well, this is a reflection of God. If we don't teach our children to revere the authorities that God has put directly in their lives, then they will not honor and respect God and His Word. They have to learn to honor. And that tells us a lot about how we need to train our children. It's not about mere conformity. It's about getting that to be part of their real life. Look, if your child loves you and honors you, respects you, reveres you, then guess what? When you direct them, they do it out of honor and respect. Now remember, this goes back to what we said a minute ago about how we are to train our children in the way that they should go, that they will not depart from it. This is what it goes back to. So what are we training our children to do? Not to conform to us. We're training them to know who God is and to revere Him. Listen to me. Children are not born into Christ. They're born into Adam. Does that excuse us? Well, they're not Christians. They're not going to. No, it is our responsibility to teach them to serve God. Period. We are to train them in Ephesians 6. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. For this is right, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. That's how we're to train them. In the Lord. In the admonition of the Lord. We are to train them, which is extremely hard because you're dealing with little sinners. But that's why they need to be trained. Remember, when we talk about discipline, when we talk about these things, we do not want to punish our children. God does not punish us. We are His children. But He disciplines us. He trains us. He corrects us. And we should be doing that with our children. But how do we make that easier on ourselves? Going back to what this says. Of honoring father and mother. If your children don't honor you, you might as well just forget it. And if you think it's not hard to get your child to do or not do something, if you put fear into him in the aspect of terror. I'm going to beat you into submission until you do this. It's like the old story when the father told his child, sit down, and the child refused. He said, I said sit down. And the child refused. Then he said, sit down or I'm giving you a spanking. So the child slammed herself down in the chair. She goes, I may be sitting down outside, but on the inside, I'm still standing up. Disrespect, dishonor, irreverent behavior. We've blown the first commandment for children. We haven't taught them to honor their parents. Do you think your child just comes out of the womb honoring you? No, your child comes out of the womb wanting everything from you. They have to learn what that is. We're not born with a concept of honor, of respect. I mean, consider this. We want our children to be holy, right? Well, how does that work? This is interesting. When you look at Leviticus 19, it says, speak to the congregation of the children of Israel and say to them, You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. What's the first thing he says after that about being holy? Every one of you shall revere his mother and father. Oh, if you don't raise your children, you want to love your child? Then direct them towards holiness. Now, what's the word revere mean? I know we've gone over this a couple of times through different passages that we've been talking about. But this has a sense of reverence, a fear, but not a fear of terror, but a fear of the position, the authority, the fact that this person is due my honor. That comes very hard in this country because we're a country of rebellious people. It's just the fact. I mean, I'm sure we're not the only country like that, but it's the only one I can attest to. But we are. We're rebellious. So we got to teach our children to be humble. We got to teach them to not be rebellious. How do we do that? By teaching them to honor the authority of the parent. That's why we don't argue with our children. That's why we don't try to persuade them in sentimental or I'm going to give you some candy if you do this. Well, now they're doing it like a dog. Roll over. Here's your treat. Well, we want them to obey because of their love for us, for their honor. They need to obey simply because they begin to understand that my parents are my authority, and what they say, I do. Amen. They love me. And if we miss that, which we all do, that is where our problems with our children come into play. I've seen households that have a construct of how they operate as though the children have equal say-so in the family. Do we have equal say-so in the church? Do we have an equal say-so with God, like we can barter with him? First of all, how does a child make an adult decision? They can't. They need to be told what to do, just like God tells us what to do. And as they grow, they begin to understand this better and better. But you have to start off with the idea of honor, the idea of respect, of reverence. Your children should revere you because of who you are. We don't need to explain everything to our children no more than God explains everything to us. When our children think they deserve the explanation and they want to debate the issue, you know what they've done? They've made themselves equal to you in authority. And in allowing that, you're teaching them to disrespect. That doesn't mean you step on your children. Doesn't mean you embitter them. But you have to think clearly about how to address them as children. They can't even understand. When you try to explain everything to your children, they don't understand a word of it. It's like, huh? But it trains them to think that they deserve an explanation. We have commands all through Scripture. God doesn't allow us. As a matter of fact, what does he say in Isaiah? Come, reason with me. See how that goes over. How do you reason with God? Well, the same thing applies in the reflection of the family. A mother must teach their children to revere her. As we have been raising our children, one thing that was not ever allowed was pitting parents against one another. It was never allowed. Even if there was a disagreement between the parents. If my wife told one of my children something, maybe I didn't agree with what she did or how she handled it. But the response was, your mother said. And if there's something my wife and I need to talk about, then we talk about it. And that can go both ways. I mean, my wife may see something and she goes, honey. But it's not done in the public square. Otherwise, we are teaching our children to dishonor the other parent. And husbands, if you teach your children to dishonor and disrespect and disobey your wife, they're disobeying and disrespecting you because you're the head of the house. You're responsible for all of that. Disregard your wife, you're disregarding yourself. She came from you. She is an extension of you in the family. And the reality is one of the most common words that parents should use without explanation is the word no. You know, it used to be used a lot. Why? Because I said so. Because that's the reality to our lives as Christians, right? We do things because God said so. I don't understand God. I'm not going to explain it to you. I mean, how often do we question God? Why, Lord? Do you ever get an answer? Nope. Because he doesn't owe us an answer. We honor him and we respect him and we revere him. And therefore, we obey him. And all that's cascading from love. And so a parent needs to think about this above everything else. Your child is going to sin till the day they die. But when you teach them to honor you, I mean, that is the command. The fifth commandment. Think about that. That's the first commandment. The first commandment that really deals with the interaction between people in the new covenant. I mean, in the Ten Commandments. Now, of course, the fourth commandment talks about the Sabbath, which, by the way, is interesting because in the passage I read a minute ago about being holy, it says, revere his mother and his father and keep my Sabbath. I am the Lord your God. Those are the two commands that he puts in this about being holy. So the very first primary commandment about the relationships between people are between the parents and their children. Isn't that interesting? Do we think that way as parents? As mothers, do you think that way? We can't be offended by our children as they're growing up. We have to take every opportunity to teach them. They're disrespectful, we teach them. Not by giving them a long, drawn-out explanation. When they get older, we can do more of that when they understand. But primarily, to start with, you know, there was a... years and years ago, there was an Oprah Winfrey episode, and you know her, all of her experience with raising children. They were having a talk about discipline, about corporate punishment. You should never, ever spank your child. Ever, that was their premise. And one of the people in the audience stood up and said, "Hey, what do you do with like a one-year-old who crawls around and keeps wanting to put their fingers in the socket? What do you do there?" You know what our answer was? You go to them and you pick them up and say, "No, you shouldn't do that," and give them big hugs and kisses. Well, what did you just train that child to do? They want to hug and kiss and be comforted? They're going to that light socket every time. You want them to stay away? They can't understand. What do you... No! Smack that hand. No. That's loving your child. You just protected them from the danger of the outlet. Instead of wooing them into doing it more often because they want the response. Instead, they shouldn't be seeking that response. It should be the response you give to them as a daily thing. Everything in your life should be loving your children, but defining that love by how God says that we are to love our children. And so we are to train them in such a way that we do not provoke them to wrath, but bring them up in the training. Training, training. That is what's essential here. If we need to train our children, if we're commanded to train our children, what do we presuppose from that? That they need to be trained. We wonder why the world looks the way it does. Because children aren't trained anymore. They're not. You know who most of them are trained by? Other children their own age. That ought to go over well. We continue to train more selfishness, more selfishness. What do we see in the adults today? A systemic sense of selfishness. It's all about me. But our lives are supposed to be all about God, right? So if we don't teach our children to honor the earthly reflections of God's authority, they will never respect that either. I mean, think about us as Christians. We have a hard time with honoring God as we should. So shouldn't we think about giving our children the greatest opportunity to train them even before they're a believer, to understand what it means to honor authority, to honor the positions that God established for their good? Because then, as they grow and they're trained, they will not depart from it. They'll return to it. That's what the proverb, now, that's not a promise, it's a proverb. But the likelihood is like that because that's how they've been trained. If we think about training for a minute, so now I've never been in the military. But one of the things I do know they tell people in the military from conversations I've had and, of course, movies, is when you go into boot camp and you go into all this extensive training to be a military soldier, you know what they tell you to rely on when you get into the real fight? Your training. Remember your training. Focus on your training. It is the training that saves men in the field. You throw a man out in a battle situation, and you throw them a gun, and they've never shot a gun in their life. They're going, I don't even know what end do I point? They've never been trained. So how are we sending our children out? You know, the Word of God tells us that it is a great prize and joy when a man's quiver is full, speaking of children. I've got a full quiver. But what do you do with arrows? Do you lock them up in the closet? No, they're designed for a purpose, to be unleashed. They'd be fired off. Are your children prepared to endure the world around them? Are they able to show proper respect and honor? I mean, look how. Just go to the grocery store and watch children around their parents. It's horrific. And you can't blame the children. And that's another thing. Mothers, fathers, how often do you get angry at your children because they do something? See, we shouldn't discipline our children in anger. We should be training them. But when we get angry about something they've done or haven't done, I wonder if that has something to do with poor training. It's our responsibility as parents. Our responsibility to train them up and the admonition of the Lord. Our responsibility. So when you see your child being disobedient, you better look back at yourself and say, what have I done wrong? What do I need to correct this? That they will honor my word the next time. I mean, I can think back to my own childhood. I did not respect my mom. Did not honor her. I didn't. I looked for reasons to do, you know, get away with all sorts of stuff. Sneak out, stay out late. I mean, it was bad for my mom. She was a single mother. My dad left. But nonetheless, I didn't respect her. If I would have respected my mom, if I would have honored her, if I would have revered her, if I'd have been taught to do that, it would have become a part of me. If I'd have been, let me restate that. Not taught, but trained to do that. Then I wouldn't have had to think about it. If my mother would have said, honey, I need you to do this, I'd have done it because it is a part of who I am in honoring my mother. It's trained. And we can't deny the fact that we are commanded to train our children. We're to train them to be holy. We're to train them in the admonition of the Lord. That's loving our children. And mothers, that really falls so much on your shoulders, it's not funny. You know, a lot of women go, I just don't know what I'm supposed to be doing for the church. Did you read what we said in Psalm 78? You, mothers, are an essential, critical person to lead your children. Look at Timothy. Timothy became an elder in the church. Paul exalted his grandmother and mother because he said that he was taught by them the things of the Word of God that gave him wisdom for salvation. Are you wives, mothers, giving your children wisdom for salvation? Start with them learning to honor their mother and father. You have to train them. You can't just tell them. They have no clue what you're talking about. You have to train them from the very beginning. Make sure they know who you are as their mother. It's not harsh. It's loving. You're teaching them to revere God. You're teaching them to be holy. Think about that. If you can teach them this in their flesh, and they're responding to their training in their flesh, what do you think is going to happen when the Lord gets a hold of them? They won't have a problem revering God. They'll have a much greater benefit than the ones that weren't trained. We got to think about this. As parents that have raised their children, we can look back in our lives and go, wow, did I err in that area? And you know, and then you go, well, you praise God. I don't know how that worked out. I wasn't even thinking that way. But as you do begin to think that way and realize the command is to be taught. I mean, we got all these little children here. Okay, children, honor your mother and father. Honor them. Well, they have no clue. That has to be trained in the actions of the parents. The way they relate with their children. They're not adults. Don't treat them like adults. That's a dangerous thing. That's when you find out you have children that want to argue and fight and they want to take control of your home. They have to learn to honor, to respect. And that's up to us parents to train them to do that over everything else. Because when they learn that, everything else is much easier to teach. I promise you. I mean, think about it like this. When we submit ourselves to God intentionally throughout our lives, because let's be honest, as believers, we still have a rebellious tendency. But when we bow ourselves before God and before His Word and think of God for who He is, it's much easier to submit to His Word. But if we just look at that command and go, oh my gosh, you've got to be kidding. But it's when we acknowledge the lawgiver, that's when we realize this is all for my good. Now, I know that when we think about this, it's like, well, that's not easy. Isn't it easier just to tell them what to do than spank them for it every time? Yeah, that's easy. That's easy. Getting your child to conform to a rule, anyone can do that. Anybody can do that. But that is not helpful to the child. Train your child up in these ways by teaching them first to honor, to respect, to revere. And then when you give them other commands, when you teach them other things from the Word of God, then they're attentive because they're honoring you. But you can automatically tell by looking at little children, that doesn't just happen, does it? That is a training, lifelong training, if you will. So the first thing we should teach our children is the fifth commandment. The first thing we should train our children in, the fifth commandment. So a lot of meditating has to go on to think about how that works. But the way we uncover that is by asking ourselves the question, how does God want us to revere Him? The same words are used for honoring God, for revering God, as it is for children to revere and honor their parents. That's the primary thing. We're not commanded to make our children happy, though if we teach them these things, they will be. It's easy for us to go, I just don't want my child upset, so I'm going to give him this. Oh, this is too much work for me, so I'm going to do something like this. Guess what? Moms, you have the hardest job of anyone. You're tasked with a 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week training of your children. Husband gets to take off to go to work. Now, he's responsible for it, and she needs to honor that, but mothers, you need to keep yourself involved in what you're responsible for. And don't let other things distract you. We got a lot of Facebook moms nowadays. They're doing this and the kids are over there doing something else and they're so distracted from their responsibility because they're too worried about somebody else's life. That other person's life is not their responsibility. Their children, and even according to the text in Titus today, this is one of their primary responsibilities. To love their children. You can't love your children if you're not raising them. You can't love your children if you're not paying attention to them and taking advantage of every training opportunity. Your job is not to make your life easy. Your job is to train up your child in the way they should go. In the admonition of the Lord. Very specific. We are to train them up in the admonition of the Lord, in the way of the Lord. Not in the way we think, but in the way of the Lord. Teach them to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Everything else that's needed in life will be added to them. Now, some of you may be going, man, I don't even know how to wrap my head around all this. Yeah, I know. But we can't argue with the fact that is the commandment. And that is the most important thing we can teach our children. Remember, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. teach your children to fear you in the same way that God tells us to fear him, with reverence, with honor, respect. It's very difficult because your kids are going to, by nature, rebel, rebel, rebel. It's training, training, training. You're going to try to work on it today, and tomorrow it's going to be like you did nothing. But keep training. Keep training. It is a gospel matter, as I said about Timothy. It was what he was taught that made him wise for salvation. When you look at Proverbs 14, 26 and 27, it says, in the fear of the Lord, there is a strong confidence, and his children will have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to turn one away from the snares of death. If we don't teach our children to revere, because that's the word here that's used for fear, not terror. We're not terrorized by God, but we recognize who God is. And that reverence, that reverent fear that we have for him is a refuge, and it is a fountain of life. We need to start training that with the fifth commandment. Teaching our children to honor their mother and their father, not just to merely obey them, to honor them. Let's pray. Most glorious God and Father, we praise you and we worship you this morning. We thank you for your word. And though this is a concept that is hard to wrap our minds around, we must meditate on it. We must work at it, trying to understand how does that work? You gave a command. How is that command possible if it is not trained? Father, give us as parents, the desire to truly love our children and do for them what is good for their souls. Father, we thank you for this time. It is in Christ's name I pray. Amen.